listening to C101.5 FM. The Hawk is on the air.
Hi, this is Barry Williams from the Brady Bunch, and you're listening to Dylan Cardone. Hey, so am I.
And as I say this many times before, and I will most certainly say it again, I hope you are as well. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the program. You're listening to Vintage Cinema Music with Dylan Cardone, right here on 101.5 The Hawk, every Saturday afternoon between 12 to 2 o'clock p.m., and as I do every single weekend, and I will most certainly say it again, this is pretty much the only classic movie show where I represent the classic movie soundtracks, as well as television and some film scores from the pre-code era of 1927's The Jazz Singer, as well as Hollywood's Golden Age from the years of the 1930s to the mid-1960s, as well as New Hollywood from the age of 1967 to 68's Bonnie and Clyde, all the way up to the new millennia of 2003. So, good afternoon. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining me right here on Vintage Cinema Music with Dylan Cardone, right here on Saturday afternoons between 12 to 2 o'clock p.m. Later on today, in hour number 2, the 92nd Annual Academy Awards Ceremony will be live on ABC tomorrow night at 8 o'clock p.m., where we actually see the Hollywood's most biggest year ever, particularly throughout an award ceremony. And we'll also take a look at this year's Oscar nominees, including some for Best Original Song, which actually includes the likes of Diane Warren, as well as Elton John, as well as the wonderful Mr. Randy Newman. And also we'll be celebrating class movie soundtracks that have won or have not won the Oscar for the years of Best Original Song, and I will also explain the history within the Academy Awards and how it all became to be. So remember, that's all coming up today in hour number 2. Also today, right here in hour number 1, we'll celebrate a couple of birthday salutes to the wonderful Mr. Joe Raspo, best well known for composing and writing songs for hit television series during the years of the 1960s and 70s, as well as The Great Muppet Caper to the theme music to Three's Company in the mid to late 1970s, as well as his best well-known film, or actually television score, to Sesame Street. And also we'll be celebrating the birthday to the wonderful film composer, the legendary John Williams. So remember, that's all coming up just around the corner in 30 minutes time. Also, during the end, hopefully, or during the end of hour number 1, the celebration of my cousin, Brenda Lee Bonner, continues with a couple of movie soundtracks from 1990's Pretty Woman, as well as Girls, Girls, Girls from the year of 1962 to 1963, in which a movie that was actually starring the wonderful Elvis Presley. So remember, that's all coming up just around the corner. But to kick things off underway, we have another magnificent box office chart of the week on February 11th in the year of 1976. And it's also a pretty good year, if I might add, with a couple of splashing musicals to crime dramas, as well as a dramatic movie that actually was placed number 1 this week on the box office chart of the week of February 11th of 1976. And I'm actually presenting the top 4 of this particular box office chart of this week. And we begin with the one that was actually placed at number 10 on the box office chart of the week. It's a movie that actually stars Burt Reynolds, as well as Gene Hackman, as well as Liza Minnelli, and directed by the wonderful MGM musical director known as Mr. Stanley Donen. Our movie is entitled Lucky Lady, a magnificent movie that is actually a story that takes place in the year of 1930 during probation in the United States. Or, in other words, it is actually during the time during the pre-code era of the Great Depression. And what's amazing about it is that maybe not a lot of people know about it is that most of the crew members that actually did Lucky Lady at that time were all crew members for George Lucas's 1977 feature-length science fiction franchise of Star Wars Episode IV, A New Hope. When George Lucas, as well as producer Gary Kurtz, were developing or going into production of the very first of the Star Wars franchise, they were trying to figure out which crew and which production budget would actually fit right to make Star Wars, since he already got the green light, Lucas himself, to make the Star Wars franchise come to life. So, when they figured out about Stanley Donen, however, he actually invited both Gary Kurtz as well as George Lucas onto the set and actually see what kind of production crew that they actually want to pick or hire while making Star Wars. And when they were looking for, you know, a few people to assist with the help for Star Wars, both eventually did visit the set and were actually very impressed at the work that they were doing. And that pretty much includes that several of the members of the British crew, no doubt, actually did for the movie in general. And also, what's amazing about it is that Stanley Donen was not actually the first choice to actually direct Lucky Lady. Originally, Steven Spielberg was actually the very first choice to do it at the time. But, however, even though he was interested in directing a movie musical such as this, he eventually had to turn down his duties as director only because he had other commitments at that time period. And, of course, he was actually directing Jaws at that same time. And also, what a lot of people may or may not know about is that Stanley Donen had not only wanted Steven Spielberg to actually direct the movie as well, he actually originally considered Mr. Paul Newman for the main role, or actually the leading role as well as Warren Beatty for one of the lead members of the film, and was originally scheduled to appear on October of 1974. However, the stars could not do it at the time due to other commitments, because, hey, that's pretty much part of the film industry, even to this day. So, let's begin with the song entitled Lucky Lady from the movie of the same name, a movie directed by Stanley Donen, and that stars as well Liza Minnelli. Here she is, performing the main theme for Lucky Lady, right here on 101.5 The Hawk, placing at number 10 of the box office chart of the week of February 11th of 1976.
Bless my soul and holy mackerel, let's break out a jug of gin. A lucky, lucky, the lucky lady came in. Saints preserve us, jumpin' jiminy, have the hoopty to begin. A lucky, lucky, the lucky lady came in. Diamonds on her bow, emeralds on her stern. She tacked in and dropped her anchor, land of Goshen, come up anchor. Holy cow and wild Jehoshaphat, high a tootsie waving. Let's have a splash, pour out the cash. Looky, looky, lucky lady came in. She tacked in and dropped her anchor, land of Goshen, call my banker. Doesn't she weaken your knees? See the hull and the keel of her. Don't you long for the feel of her when she's purring along in the breeze? Oh, what a craft before her aft could make your compass spin. So now that she's here, a nestling in her birth short. Up, getting her money's worth. Hi-ho, her navigation, let's row. A celebration to show appreciation. Lucky lady came in. Lady.
from the year of 1975. That was, of course, famous film composer Maurice Jarre performing the main title theme to the 1975 feature-length American-British classic dramatic film known as The Man Who Would Be King. And that film was actually placed at number 7 of the box office chart of February 11th in the year of 1976. And what's amazing about it is that if you're not familiar with this particular film in general, it was adapted and directed by the wonderful Hollywood film legend known as John Huston, and that stars the wonderful British actors of both Sean Connery and Michael Caine. And this film was actually adapted for the movie that was actually called, again, The Man Who Would Be King, by the wonderful Rudyard Kipling, who, in fact, also created many, many stories during the time period, including The Jungle Book, Kim, as well as magnificent poems such as Mandalay, as well as Gunga Din, The Gods of the Copybook Headings, The White Man's Burden, and If, in the year of 1910. For some of you who do not know what this movie is about, it pretty much follows the stories of two rogue ex-soldiers at the time period, or in this case, during the years in the British Army, who set off from late 19th century British India in search of adventure and end up in faraway Kafiristan, where one is taken for a god and made their king, finally, at last. And what's amazing about it is that The Man Who Would Be King had been a pet project for John Huston for many years after he had read the book as a child. Huston had planned to make the film since the years of the 1950s, and he originally wanted to cast both Clark Gable and Humphrey Bogart in the roles of both Daniel and Peachy. He was unable to get the project off the ground, only because Bogart had eventually died from a series of lung cancer in the year of 1957, followed by Clark Gable, who also died from cancer in the year of 1960, since both of them, including Hollywood's golden age during that time period, mostly all smoked because that was the way Hollywood used to be back then, you know, during that time period. And however, though, Burt Lancaster and Kirk Douglas were then approached to play the lead roles, followed by Richard Byrne, as well as the wonderful British actor of Peter O'Toole. But in the 1970s, however, Huston actually approached Robert Redford and Paul Newman for the roles, but Newman actually advised Hudson that British actors should play the roles since this particular book or movie would actually be about British people. So he actually recommended both Sean Connery as well as Michael Caine for the roles, and Caine was actually very keen to appear easily, especially after he was told that his part had originally been written for Humphrey Bogart, his favorite actor as a young man. And right before that, from the year of 1976, this one was placed at number 10 of the box office chart of the week. That was Liza Minnelli singing the main role entitled Lucky Lady, in which she co-starred alongside both Gene Hackman as well as Burt Reynolds, and directed by Stanley Donen. 20 minutes after 12 o'clock, thank you so much for joining into Vintage Cinema Music with Dylan Cardoni, right here on 101.5 The Hawk. We are actually, if you're just joining us right now, we are actually presenting the top four of the box office chart of the week of February 11th in the year of 1976. Now, since there's not many classic soundtracks that I really couldn't find, so my apologies for that. However, let's actually talk about some of the other classic movie soundtracks that were actually made on this list. Placing at number 9, it's Hester Street, a movie that stars the wonderful funny actress, or in this case, a funny comedic actress of Carol Kane, as well as Stephen Keats. Also placing at number 8 is, of course, Lies My Father Told Me, a very magnificent, however, Canadian movie that was actually made during that time period. And that particular film, for some may not know, was actually nominated for an Academy Award for Best Original Screenplay. And of course, we had The Man Who Would Be King, as I just played for you right now. And placing at number 6 of the box office chart of this week It's very a virtual kind of type of movie that stars Dean Jones and Peter Ustinov. Our movie is entitled Blackbeard's Ghost. A very magnificent movie, I might add. However, though, for some of you who do not know, this wasn't actually released in the years of the 1970s, but it was reissued to be re-released for this particular time period, just to make more money throughout the box office in general. So it was sort of a re-release kind of type of thing, if I might add. The movie came out eventually in the year of 1968. It's an American fantasy comedy film produced by Walt Disney and the Walt Disney Production Company. Now, even though Walt had died actually 3 years or before the release of this movie, however, this movie was actually directed by the wonderful Robert Stevenson, who actually directed many great but magnificent Walt Disney productions during his time working for the studio, including his very first ever Oscar nomination for directing Mary Poppins. And it's based upon the book of the 1965 novel of the same name by Ben Stahl. And as I said before, it was shot at the Walt Disney Studios. Peter Ustinov, as well as Dean Jones, actually co-star alongside Suzanne Pleshette. That's right, the Suzanne Pleshette, best well known for many great roles such as Alfred Hitchcock's 1963 film The Birds, as well as co-starring with Bob Newhart on The Bob Newhart Show. And she actually voiced the role on The Lion King 2 Simba's Prime that was released on video in the late 1998 to 1999. So here is the main title to Blackbeard's Ghost, with a great but magnificent music score by the wonderful Robert F. Brunner. Here it is, right here on 101.5 The Hawk. You're listening to Vintage Cinema Music with Dylan Cardone, placing at number 6 of the box office chart of February 11th of 1976.
Come, cheer up, my lad. It's the glory we steer. With heads bearing high, we will banish all fear. Go on, now we call. You are free men, not slaves.
Free men!
Who are more free than the tons of the red parts of oak, our ships, jolly tars, they're our men.
That's right!
We'll always be ready. Steady, boys, steady.
Steady!
We'll fight and we'll come.
We'll come again,
again, again. But together now,
parts of oak, our ships, jolly tars. Steady, boys.
Steve, wait! I'm not letting you go to that place alone.
We'll always be ready. Steady, boys.
Steady.
We'll fight and we'll come for again and again.
Once more, then, sing out the mumble.
Come cheer up the lads. 'Tis to glory we steer. Heads bearing high, we will banish all fear.
Steve,
to
wait.
Honor we fall. You are free men, not slaves.
The fool are so free as the sons of the way. Hearts of oak are our ships. Jolly cars are our men. We'll always be ready.
Steady, boys, steady.
We'll fight and we'll conquer again.
placing at number one of the box office chart of the week of February 11th in the year of 1976. That, of course, was the magnificent film composer known as Jack Nisichi. That was, of course, the closing theme, or in this case, the main title to the closing theme for the movie of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Now, even though this movie actually won big at the Academy Awards that year, in the year of 1975 to 1976, for some people may actually consider this as one of the greatest films ever made. It actually was placed at number 33 on the American Film Institute's 100 Years, 100 Movies list, and the film was the second to win all five major Academy Awards, which included Best Picture, Best Actor, Best Actress, Best Director, and Best Screenplay, followed by Frank Capra's screwball comedy back in the year of 1934's It Happened One Night, which, of course, was the very first Oscar to win the Grand Slam at that particular time period, as well as the 1991 feature-length motion picture film of The Silence of the Lambs. And it actually won over a numerous Golden Globe and BAFTA awards. And in 1993, the film was deemed as culturally, historically, or significant by the United States' Library of Congress and selected for preservation in the National Film Registry. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest was placed at number one of the box office chart of the week of February 11th in the year of 1976. And right before that, from the year of 1968, this movie was actually re-released or reissued in theaters to make a more box office success. That, of course, was the wonderful Robert F. Brunner performing, of course, or composing the main theme to the Walt Disney Pictures classic of Blackbeard's Ghost. And others that actually made the chart on this week of February 11th, placing at number 4 is Challenge to Be Free, a movie that stars Fritz Ford and Mike Mazurki, as well as placing at number 4 is The Story of O, starring Corinne Clary and Otto Kier. And placing at number 3 is of course, the crime drama film of Dog Day Afternoon, starring the wonderful Al Pacino and John Caslow. And at number 2 is The Sunshine Boys, starring Walter Matthau and George Burns. 31 minutes after 12 o'clock, thank you so much once again for joining into Vintage Cinema Music with Dylan Cardone right here on 101.5 The Hawk. And coming up in hour number 2 is a wonderful, magnificent celebration of course, the Academy Awards that is actually going to be playing tomorrow night at 8 o'clock p.m. on ABC. So if you are a huge fan of Oscar-nominated and winning movies, just remember, it's on tomorrow night on ABC. But before we get into hour number 2, however, let's share a couple of magnificent birthday tributes to the wonderful Mr. Film Composer John Williams, as well as George Raposo. Now, Raposo, of course, as we all know, is best well known for creating and writing many children television educational programs during the years of the 1960s and 70s. He, of course, is a fabulous composer, a songwriter, a pianist, even a television writer, and lyrics. And he's best well known for his role for creating the children's educational television series of Sesame Street, in which he wrote the main theme entitled Sesame Street in general. He also made many classics from that particular time period, such as Being Green, in which, of course, Jim Henson's production company, or in this case, Jim Henson's role as Kermit the Frog, was actually made for it. And, of course, the wonderful C is for Cookie, in which was sung by the wonderful Cookie Monster. He also composed many of the songs from the Sesame Street, including Rubber Ducky, in which Ernie actually plays his role performing that popular main song during that time period in the 1970s. And he also wrote music for the television shows such as The Electric Company, Shining Time Station, as well as the sitcoms Three's Company and its spinoff of The Ropers, including their main theme songs. But in addition to these works, however, Raspo also composed extensively for three, of course, Dr. Seuss's cartoon TV specials, which actually included 1977's Halloween is Grinch Night, as well as the wonderful Puck Flo Poke, Where Are You, in 1980, and The Grinch, Grinchiest the Cat in the Hat in 1982. So, he eventually died on February 5th, a few days ago, in the year of 1989. So, let's begin with Joe Raspo performing, actually composing or writing a few songs for Sesame Street as well as Three's Company. Right here on 101.5 The Hawk, you're listening to Vintage Cinema Music with Dylan Cardone.
Come and knock on our door.
Come and knock on our door.
We've been waiting for you.
We've been waiting for you.
Where the kisses are hers and hers and his. Three's Company too. Come and dance on our floor.
Come and dance on our floor.
Take a step that is new.
Take a step that is new.
We've a lovable space that needs your face. Three's Company too. You'll see that life is a ball again. Laughter is calling for you. Down at our rendezvous.
Down at our rendezvous.
Three's Company too.
Hi there, I'm Mike Quinn. I played Nine-Numb in the Star Wars films, and you're listening to Dylan Cardone.
Now, what starts with the letter C? Cookie starts with C. Let's think of other things that starts with C. Who cares about other things? C is for cookie. That's good enough for me. C is for cookie. That's good enough for me. C is for cookie. That's good enough for me. Oh, cookie, cookie, cookie starts with C. Oh, C is for cookie. That's good enough for me. C is for cookie. That's good enough for me. C is for cookie. That's good enough for me. Oh, cookie, cookie, cookie starts with C. Hey, you know what? A round cookie with one bite out of it looks like a C. A round donut with one bite out of it also looks like a C. But it is not as good as a cookie. Oh, the moon sometimes looks like a C, but you can't eat that. So, C is for cookie, that's good enough for me. Yeah, C is for cookie, that's good enough for me. C is for cookie, that's good enough for me. Oh, cookie, cookie, cookie starts with C. Yeah, cookie, cookie, cookie starts with C. Oh boy, cookie, cookie, cookie starts with C.
Well, here I am in my tubby again, and my tubby's all filled with water and nice fluffy suds. And I've got my soap and washcloth to wash myself. And I've got my nifty scrub brush to help me scrub my back. And I've got a big fluffy towel to dry myself when I'm done. But there's one other thing that makes tubby time the very best time of the whole day. And do you know what that is? It's a very special friend of mine, my very favorite little pal.
Oh, Rubber Ducky, you're the one. You make bath time lots of fun. Rubber Ducky, I'm awfully fond of you. Bo, bo, bo-dee-o, Rubber Ducky, joy of joys. When I squeeze you, you make noise. Rubber Ducky, you're my very best friend, it's true.
Oh, every day when I make my way to the tubby, I find a little fella who's cute and yellow and chubby. Rub-a-dub-dubby, rubber ducky, you're so fine, and I'm lucky that you're mine. Rubber ducky, I'm awfully fond of you. Hey, rubber ducky, would you like me to scrub your back with my nifty little scrub brush? You would? Okay, how's this? Hey, you want me to scrub behind your ears? Ooh, I see. You don't have any ears, do you? Well, how about your tummy? Scrub his little ducky tummy. Ooh, he's ticklish. Oh, every day when I make my way to the tubby, I find a little fella who's cute and yellow and chubby. Rub-a-dub-dubby, rubber ducky, you're so fine, and I'm lucky that you're mine. Rubber ducky, I'd like a whole pond of rubber ducky. I'm awfully fond of you.
What you just heard right now from the years of the 1970s, that of course was Ernie performing one of his most popular songs during his time on Sesame Street entitled Rubber Ducky. And right before that, also in the 1970s on the Sesame Street educational television show, that of course was the Cookie Monster performing one of his most famous songs entitled C is for Cookie, because hey, he loves cookies. That's why he doesn't want to name anything C except for a cookie. Go figure, right? And right before that, from the years of the mid to late 1970s, that, of course, was Ray Charles, and I forget who the other person was. If I do come back at it, I'll let you all know at that time, performing the main title's television theme of Three's Company. And right before that, from 1968 to 1969, that, of course, was the main title to the television series of Sesame Street. All those were actually composed and performed by the wonderful Mr. Joe Raspo. And I have to actually give this one out to a very close friend of mine, or in this case, friends of mine's little girl or daughter of Justin and Melissa Winger, who their daughter, Isla, is a huge fan of Sesame Street. So, Isla, I hope you enjoyed it. I really hope you did. Or as her Papa Eric would say, that is so cheesy. Or as my good friend Lorraine Scallon would say, eesh. Just joking out there. Nothing too offensive at all. Nothing at all. 42 minutes after 12 o'clock. Thank you so much for joining into Vintage Cinema Music with Dylan Cardone right here on 101.5 The Hawk. And our next celebrity birthday tribute is another magnificent film composer who in this case is regarded as the greatest film composer ever made. He actually composed some of the most popular and recognizable acclaimed film scores in cinematic history that had spanned for over 6 to 7 decades. He's won 25 Grammys, to magnificent 7 British Academy Film Awards, 5 Oscars, in fact, and 4 Golden Globes. And with 52 Academy Award nominations on his record, he's the second most nominated person to actually be nominated for a whole bunch of Academy Awards besides Mr. Walt Disney. And in 2005, the American Film Institute selected Mr. John Williams' score to 1977 Star Wars as the greatest film score of all time. That's right, people. It is John Williams who is actually celebrating a birthday today. And he is, in fact, 88 years old, and he's still kicking. He's still pretty much going. Also, the Library of Congress also entered the Star Wars film soundtrack into the National Recording Registry for being, of course, culturally, historically, and a significant film of all time. He actually made many films over the years, including Schindler's List to Close Encounters of the Third Kind, 1978's Superman, 1982's E.T. the Extraterrestrial, the Indiana Jones series, the first two Home Alone films, including Jaws, the first two Jurassic Park films, as well as 1991's Hook and the first three Harry Potter films. Also, Williams also composed numerous classical concerts and other works for orchestra cymbals and solo instruments. And also, he has been associated with Steven Spielberg since the year of 1974, in which he composed a few songs, or in this case, many scores, for 1974's Sugarland Express. And also, he actually included music for the 1984 Summer Olympic Games, as well as NBC Sunday Night Football, the mission theme used by NBC News and 7 News in Australia, as well as television series such as Lost in Space and Land of the Giants for Irwin Allen in the 1960s, and the incidental music for the first season of Gilligan's Island. He was inducted into the Hollywood Bowl's Hall of Fame in the year 2000 and received a Kennedy Center Award in 2004 and the AFI Lifetime Achievement Award in the year of 2016. So let's celebrate John Williams with a couple of fantastic movie music scores. Let's begin with the main theme to 1975's Jaws. Right here on 101.5 The Hawk, you're listening to Vintage in the Music with Dylan Cardone.
Thank you.
from the year of 1969. That, of course, was John Williams creating the main theme to the 1969 feature-length Western classic known as The Cowboys. And right before that, from the year of 1975, that was John Williams once again composing the main theme, or in this case, the main title, as well as the first victim, from Steven Spielberg's 1975 feature-length classic of Jaws. John Williams is celebrating his 88th birthday today on February 8th. Coming up just around the corner, classic movie soundtracks from and history of the Academy Awards, which will include Buck Privates to Georgie Girl, Tammy and the Bachelor, as well as, of course, The Lion King, Ragtime, Mannequin, Back to the Future, The Harvey Girls, and many, many others that have been nominated or did not win the Academy Award for Best Original Song. Remember, that's all coming up in just several minutes' time, so stick around for that. But before we end our number one, right here on 101.5 The Hawk, let's continue to celebrate my cousin, Brenda Lee Bonner, who passed away last Wednesday morning at 5:50 a.m. from a series of lung cancer, and eventually died on January 29th of this year in 2020 at the age of 70. Now, this past Monday at 11 o'clock a.m., both my mother and I had actually went to see our cousin Brenda's funeral, and of course we've been reunited with our families, and as well as our cousins, our great aunts, great uncles, or people that eventually knew my cousin Brenda quite well. As I mentioned this last week, she was an extremely huge fan of the movies and music of Elvis Presley. She would always go shopping, especially with her granddaughters, both Alexis and Alicia Payeda, and is very close to both her kids, which is also my second, my other second cousins, both Steve as well as Cheryl Hulk. And of course, she was also very close to her brother, Terry Bonner, who lives up in Barrie, but he still comes down every time he's invited to either family get-togethers, birthday tributes, or, you know, any kind of celebration that he would actually come. He'll always be right there. And when both my mother and I actually listened to, of course, a lot of great stories about my cousin Brenda, both Alexis, Alicia, as well as my cousin Steven's kids had actually went up and actually paid a very nice tribute. And it kind of actually touched both my mother and myself's hearts in many ways, because they were very, very close to her. As well as my mom was also very close to her, as well as myself. And of course Cheryl, which is of course my cousin, which is Brenda's daughter, were also close, as well as her brother Steven Bonner as well. And they made actually several tributes to her, including a couple of music from the 1950s and 60s, because she eventually grew up during the times at which the baby boomer era was actually in effect at that time period. And of course, she was actually the first one to experience the incredible stuff of rock and roll. So let's continue with the celebration to my wonderful cousin, Brenda Lee Bonner, with a couple of soundtracks from 1990's Pretty Woman, as well as Girls, 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 from the movies that starred Elvis Presley. Brenda, if you're listening up in heaven right now, Cheryl, Steven, Terry, your grandsons, your granddaughters, my mother and myself, and all of our other cousins, we all miss you. So here it is, Brenda. Here's a tribute to you from 1990. Here is Roy Orbison performing in the movie of Pretty Woman, right here on 101.5 The Hawk, as we continue to celebrate each week for my cousin Brenda Lee Bonner, before we transition to our number two.
Pretty woman, walking down the street. Pretty woman, the kind I like to meet. Pretty woman, we'll woman. And you look lovely as can be. Are you lonely just like me?
Number, no such soul.